Would you look at that? A ladder! Unfortunately, my design doesn't facilitate this type of...
Well, destiny awaits.
Just another movie night.
Hello. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
And I'm Joe. I've only had one beer. I'm fine.
All right, let's open up round two. Hello, everybody. Again, this is before and after reviews, where we go see a brand new movie in the theater, give our thoughts before and after.
Spoiler-free, of course.
Joe says spoiler-free. Cheers. We are toasting with a beer. We haven't done this in a long time.
I'm drinking a Fruit Force by Voodoo Ranger. It's pretty freaking good.
We usually go out to eat and see a movie, but this time I said, hey, let's save some money and drink our own beer. And we have a lot of good beer in our house. So we're drinking... our own beers we just opened up. We're on round two. I think this is a good movie tonight to open beers. And of course, what movie are we talking about? We're talking about the video game classic finally being made into a movie, Joust. Now, this is a movie.
It's Paperboy.
It's Joust. Oh. This is a movie that stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson as Huevos Rancheros. He, of course, with Kevin Hart, who voices Ozzy Stridge. And they are battling the brute force of Baron Von Buzzkill.
Stop.
Yeah, let's play a scene from that movie right now. It's time to get on that hill. We got to ride up and beat Von Buzzkill.
Man, you know, I wasn't really believing it until you said it just then, and now I do. So, you know what? Huevos Rancheros, is if that is your real name,
it is my real name. Now, bend down and let me mount you, because we're gonna go joust.
I like it.
That was a clip from the new movie Joust.
I like it. I think it was really good. So, the whole trailer of that...
Kevin Hart... he was doing something different there.
Yeah, he really tried. He definitely went out of his comfort zone. So yeah, I'm here for that. I'm definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see Joust.
Me too.
It's a movie where Huevos Rancheros, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, rides an ostrich and jousts. That's first a video all, game that exists, people.
Might I just make reference of the fact that I really appreciate your pronunciation of huevos rancheros.
Did I say rancheros?
No. Huevos?
Huevos?
Rancheros. That is exactly what you said. You actually pronounced it right, and you don't speak Spanish. You can't even pronounce English right. But you pronounce Spanish right. I am very proud of you.
You want to know something? I was in a really good mood.
You know what? You're still in a good mood because this is my job. To love you and tell you all of the fun things about yourself.
You know what? We are actually seeing Borderlands.
Yep, yep.
And here's the deal. Joe's excited about this movie. I am not excited about this movie.
Damn you.
Not even in a little bit.
You know
and
why?
I'm going to talk about why.
Okay,
and that's why we're drinking beer right
this
now.
This goddamn game franchise. We have played it into the ground.
Yes, it's one of my favorite franchises.
We love it.
I am drinking Flying Monkeys Chocolate Manifesto Milk Stout. Triple milk stout. I said, Joe, grab me one beer. She gets me a 10%.
Okay.
So I'm going to be nice and blasted. On the after review, I'm going to be extremely tired.
We are currently accepting applications for sponsors. I'm just saying.
Let me tell you, last time we drank... and the reason we haven't drank again, this was a thing we were going to do. We were going to drink before the movie. And we stopped because we saw Taro. And Joe was so blasted during the in the after that it became a debacle.
I got in some trouble.
Go listen to that episode.
You know what?
I didn't even edit it. I don't think I did.
It makes for good podcasting.
When I one think of you us repeated is, your dislike at least five times. I was going to put a bell on it every
how
time.
How dare you? This is also my show, and I can say what I want to say.
That's true.
To the people.
That's true. I think the fun thing about before and after reviews is we don't edit this shit at all. We just put it right on.
Let me tell you, I'm already buzzed, okay? So I'm just telling you, I don't know what I'm going to...
I haven't drank in a long time,
so
yeah.
Yeah, it's been a minute. So let's just hope for the best.
Okay, let's talk about Borderlands and why I'm a little worried about it, why you're excited about it. Well, let's start with your excitement. Your excitement comes from the fact that we're huge Borderlands fans.
I mean, here's the thing. Borderlands is one of my favorite game franchises, like right up there with Gears of War and Saints Row. I love those game franchises. So to know that this is being made, number one, at all, which is amazing, but the fact that they chose Kate Blanchett and the voice of Jack Black for Claptrap. Like, I don't care. These are people I love. Jamie Lee Curtis and Kevin Hart. I think this cast is amazing. And just the way Kate Blanchett looks in this role, like, I mean, it's just beautiful. Beautiful. I mean, she's never not beautiful, but I'm kind of obsessed with her. So I'm stoked. And I just want to see this on the big screen. I really do. So...
Well, a big thing here is the reason that you love it so much is because it's a, see, like I'm drinking and so I have this voice, but it's a co-op game and we love playing video games together, but we especially love split screen, which is becoming a dying thing that we can't have anymore. We used to love Halo and they got rid of split screen. We stopped playing Halo, which sucks.
Yeah.
And we really enjoy split screen games and this company was one of our favorites because Borderlands games are what you should have as a video game. It's like a $60 price tag, which is a normal video game price.
Yeah.
And it is so much content that when DLC comes out, it's like you're 150 hours in.
Yeah.
And we love it because we play it into the ground to the point where we can't stand it anymore. Like, we're like, okay, we've leveled our characters up, and we know so much about the lore that we just love playing together. Now, here's the problem. I agree. There's a lot of things about this movie that we should love. One, like you said, Kate Blanchett. Okay, Kate Blanchett is an actress that just constantly knocks things out of the park. I adore her. I also adore Jamie Lee Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other thing, horror director Eli Roth. Now, you can take or leave Eli Roth. Now, I can understand why some people might not want to take him. I get it. But this guy does stuff that's interesting. I as much as you might not like him, he keeps coming back and reinventing. His kids movie, House with the Clock in the Walls, is actually quite fun.
Yeah, it is. I really liked it.
It made me think about 1980s throwback films.
Yeah.
And I really adore that. And I don't know why it wasn't successful. But here we are. And now the truth comes in. One, this movie was reshot with a different director. Two, it's this was made at least 3 years ago. What did I say, three?
What am I, four? Three.
Okay, so four.
Uh-huh.
None of the characters are actually following plot lines from the video game.
I understand that. And I made mention of that when we saw the trailer and I saw Tiny Tina. So yes. I did make mention of that. However, I think the actress playing Tiny Tina looks adorable. I can't get around how they look. So I need to just put myself out of that and like hope for a good movie here. But getting back to Eli Roth, we liked his last movie. And I'm one of those people that I'm not going to stop appreciating somebody as a director and a writer because they made one or two poor decisions. You know, I'm not doing that. Like, if I did that, I would never love Nicolas Cage again. And he's my fucking favorite.
Well, no one's saying that you can't like him. I think it's weird and debatable with him, why people don't like him, why people do. I definitely think that he belongs in the horror genre, especially grindhouse horror ideas. Mm-hmm. He really works there.
He has a lot of great ideas. He really does.
I was really excited that he was going to try an action film.
Yeah.
But I was worried when I found out it was Borderlands, because Borderlands has, and this is my huge problem with Hollywood, when you take a property that people love that has four games, maybe six games.
We also have Tales from the Borderlands. So that's
what I was saying, six.
Yeah.
1,000 hours of content, of, you know, backstories and character lore. Mm-hmm. Why you feel that you should just rewrite it all and just start new? Why? Because there's a lot of people who, when they see video game movies, they think, oh, this isn't good. You know?
Yeah.
You know,
well, we've seen a lot of bad ones. That's a problem.
And the big problem is that people aren't running to see them. You have to make something that really draws people in. You have to take the lore and build it. This is what's going on with comic book movies. This is what's going on with a lot of movies.
Yeah.
And here's my huge problem with this movie in particular, before we see it, is that the trailer is acting like it's Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, it is so far from Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, I can see that there could be a cross between why Guardians works for these characters, but what's really interesting about this franchise, Borderlands, the video game, has always had the best trailers, the best setups, mm-hmm. the best openings, the best marketing campaigns, and this movie has had none of that. Claptrap himself should be the most marketable character of all time. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they got Jack Black and you don't see anything about this movie, mostly probably because Jack Black recently kind of career suicide themselves in the Tenacious D. Hey,
Jack Black did not do that.
It doesn't matter if his politics or not, people are mad about it. Who cares? But there's a roadblock there. But Claptrap himself is such a likable character, such an interesting character, that they made a mistake, probably not getting the actual voice actor, which is a whole debacle in the video game world as well, where that actor stepped away from his own character because him and the creator can't get along. It's a shame.
Yeah, whatever their stupid politics are and their, you know, problems are together, it doesn't mean, I mean, you're never going to get, like, exactly. That's a problem. Everyone expects, like, when they make a video game movie, that you're going to get exactly what you're playing. It's a live action. You're not going to get all the things.
Yeah, but why deny all of it? Why deny 10 years of lore?
I mean, you're correct.
Why do that?
I am actually biased. I am, because I am a huge, disgustingly insane, obsessed fan of Jack Black. So anything he does, I am in it. I'm in it. I don't care.
Yeah, I love Jack Black as well.
But I want to see it first before I make any judgments.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely.
But, it's hard to do a video game movie, though. It really is. So
I don't think it is.
I think it is. Especially, like, I know that Gears of War is trying to be done. It's never going
to
be done.
The fact that Dave Bautista has been begging to play Marcus Fenix, and it hasn't happened yet, there's something wrong with Hollywood.
I mean, he literally fell out of his mother's vagina as Marcus Fenix. Okay, I don't understand.
It's like Terry Crews and Coltrane.
Yeah,
it needs to happen.
Terry Crews is Coltrane. Yeah. I don't understand this. Like, make the fucking movie.
Make the movie. And this is what I'm talking about. My question to you, though, is with what you're saying, why does Batman with, like, Michael Keaton work? Why does Batman with Christian Bale work? Why does Batman with Robert Pattinson work? You know, like, why do some of these things work when we have all this lore? Gal Gadot, Black Panther. Why do some of these things work? They work because they're paying a little bit of a tribute to those characters.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Evans as Captain America. Why does it work so well? Because they're really paying love
mm-hmm.
to those characters.
They are.
So why can't we do this in a video game form? Why is it taking this long? Now, I feel so bad for Alicia Van Camper, was that her name? I'm probably butchered that name.
What, you mean it's Tiny Tina?
No, the actress who played Tomb Raider, when they tried to bring it back.
That girl is awesome.
She
was
awesome. And it was a really good reproduction of what that new video game franchise was. And it should have been a success, but it wasn't. And I just don't get why these things aren't working. And I keep coming back to the same thing, because you're not understanding your property. And this property does not need to have 1970s throwback songs on its trailers, especially when all of the trailers have always been dubstep or the band The Heavy, which I'm a huge fan of.
Yes, you are.
I know I'm a huge fan of it, but embrace it, because these video games and these characters work off of those music, like Nero with the dubstep. Mm-hmm. It should have been in this thing. The whole idea of it should be these really bombastic action films and follow the characters. I know everybody's mad about casting Kevin Hart as this gigantic army dude into a smaller guy. It is a very baffling, bizarre thing. Also skipping over, you know, two of the other main characters from the first game to jump into characters that are now kind of like, oh, they're fun.
Well, how do you feel about Craig? Tannis? Like, Tannis is Jamie Lee Curtis.
Perfect casting.
I mean, do you think
no problem with that?
You think that's perfect?
That doesn't bother me at all. It does bother me that Craig is a main character in this movie, or probably not even a main character. I would have rather have had Mordecai. I would rather have had Brick.
Yeah, like Mordecai's. I don't even know if Mordecai's even
probably not. And the whole premise of the movie itself doesn't seem to be following it at all. And so I question, why even do it? Why not call this something else? The only reason to do it is to gather some small fan base to go see the movie, which is us.
Yeah.
But
see, that's the thing. This is why I kind of admire Eli Roth in that way, because I feel like Eli Roth does represent a lot of us nerds. He himself is a nerd. He's a movie nerd. He's a video game nerd. He's just an all-around nerd, and he represents us pretty well, I think.
So then why go along with the script that isn't anything of what it is? What's the point then?
Well, I guess we're just going to have to see. Thing? I mean, we don't know exactly what's going to happen
here. All I've heard is bad stories from behind the scenes. And so when I heard about this, there was a time, I think maybe on this podcast, somewhere in this podcast, I might have mentioned it, whatever happened to Borderlands, because I knew it was shot. I knew it was going through reshoot hell. But it's got to be to the point now where it's like, yeah, what the hell? So here we are, and it was finally releasing. I'm nothing but nervous for this movie. So
that sucks, because I'm like the opposite right now.
I don't want to ruin your time. I want to have a good time.
My time will not be ruined, because I get to feast my eyeballs on Kate Blanchett. I love her. I don't care.
So what do you think your final review is going to be? Because we don't want to drag this out. We're going to go to the movies in a second.
Yeah. I think I'm going to come out of this with a 7.
You think you're going to come out with a 7. Yep. That is mind-blowing. I will come out with a 5 or a 6. A 6 if it's good.
Your face right now was so freaking cute right now. Like, when you looked at me and you were like, oh, you're going to come out with a 7? Your face was adorably, like, bewildered.
You want to know why? Because there's no way in hell that's going to be true.
Well, goddamn you. Okay, I am going to have a party. You leave me alone.
Let's go party then.
Legend has it that there's this massive treasure hidden in some secret vault. And if you go hunting for it, you'd better take any help you can get. Because it's on the weirdest, most dangerous dumpster fire of a world in the universe.
God, I hate this planet.
What is that smell?
Pisswash gully.
Ew!
Put the window up.
I don't want him.
Roll the window up.
It's Pete. It's Pete.
Why do you think it's called Pisswash? How did it get the name?
It's in my mouth.
Do you know how many people have died looking for this vault?
We have something they don't, baby girl.
Okay.
What?
major issues.
Okay, we're back. And imagine that you get transported to the 1990s. And the video game movies, Mario Brothers, Double Dragon, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, are all in the theater. And right there, right at the edge of that, is Borderlands. A complete, utter pile of shit. Hey, we're back. We saw Borderlands. Hey, Joe, how do you feel?
Okay, well, can I just start by saying don't be jealous, but I think I'm gay for Kate Blanchett. I think she's so beautiful. I love her.
Sure, sure.
But I will say I am highly, highly disappointed in this film. Highly.
Could you call this a film?
No, I cannot. Because, number one, we did not even get any backstory on any of these characters, which we know about these characters because we played the games. However, any Joe Schmo walking into this theater would be like, what the fuck am I watching? I have no idea who these people are. Why are we supposed to care about these people? There's no backstory. There's no even introduction, really, to these people.
Yeah, I mean, we were in a pretty small theater, which was really bad news. We're actually in the back of our theater. And we actually had a full house, but it was a tiny little theater, so you can't really give it the credit of being a full house. And the gentleman next to me twice during the movie said, this is fucking awful. He said to his kids or whatever, whoever was with him, he moaned, said, this is awful. What is this?
Yeah.
And I have to agree. I laughed twice at him. I just started laughing looking at him because... Yeah, this is a complete mess. It has nothing to do with the video games at all.
No.
It's one of those things. It's when I say it's like one of the 90s versions of video games where they just were like, we don't understand how video games work. We don't know how to translate them. We can't see them as art. That's exactly what's going on here. Yeah. And that's what happened with the Mortal Kombat Annihilation, which we hate, and Double Dragon and Super Mario Brothers. It's like the creators were like, oh, it's a video game. It's not art. You know, it's not a thing.
First of all, when people say that, it pisses me off.
Yeah, exactly. But that's exactly what's going on. We don't know how to translate. There's no story there. It's a video game. And that's what it feels like. And I got to tell you what this really feels like is studio interference of trying to scramble to make a better film. And just trying to, how do we fix this? How do we fix this? It's like, rush this into computer stuff, reshoot some scenes, try to make some stuff make sense. And it is jarring. Every time you can tell that they it's not interfering, because I have a feeling that Eli Roth had no idea how to translate this properly. And I think the studio was scrambling to make this look better.
Yeah.
And even when it's action, like, say, there's a car chase. And the car chase, they filmed it, like, in a certain speed. And they tried to, you know, get the stunts right and make it look good. But when they translated it into the CG, they didn't speed it up. So it looked like it was in slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
It looked very, like, just like people randomly driving on a regular expressway.
Yeah.
It just felt... so tame. Action scenes feel jarringly misplaced. Camera shots, everything. Even the narration that needs to explain to you what's happening, because the movie doesn't understand how to explain itself.
Yeah.
Like, organically. It needs to keep telling you things. Things just randomly happen, like Bobby Lee, the comedian Bobby Lee, just shows up. And I don't know if it was supposed to be funny. It wasn't. It just disappeared. It's like he's here, then he's gone from the movie.
There's no rhyme or reason to any of this. I have to say that I'm pretty disappointed that even Kevin Hart couldn't deliver. And, you know, he's pretty funny usually.
It feels like he's not even in there.
He's not even in there. It's like they struggled. He struggled so bad, Eli Roth. It's like, wait a minute. I had so much faith in you, man. Like, I thought that, you know, he understood the subject matter. And I was wrong about that. I mean, there's no plot here. There's no, like, this is not a Borderlands story. What this is Borderlands characters thrown into some convoluted ridiculousness. I don't understand what he was trying to do.
I would say in name only.
In name only.
Yeah, I don't feel like any of them are anything close to what they are.
No, I mean, they don't introduce anyone, like, I'm sorry, but I feel like Tiny Tina needs an introduction. Tannis needs an introduction. I mean, they all need an introduction. Like, why? Why are we rooting for these characters? What is going on here? Who are they? We don't get any of that. Now, we know because we played the games, but I mean, anybody coming into this will not know who they are or why.
I mean, you keep bringing it up, but I think that it doesn't even matter. It's completely detached.
It's only there
in surface value. It has nothing to do core-wise with it whatsoever. And so it doesn't really make sense. And you can slap a song from the trailer in there for no reason. You can slap an image, but it doesn't matter if there's nothing, no weight to it, no emotion. There is no. Absolutely no emotion to any shot or scene. No. And so it just feels like a bunch of clips are happening and you're like completely detached to the point of not caring. And I would say 20 minutes into this film, I was like, wow, this is terrible. Like, just terrible. I couldn't believe it because, like, we already talked about, this has a great, you know, some great cast going on around it. And and I feel really bad because, you know, like Craig looks good. I keep calling him Craig. I know it's like Craig. Krieg? Is it Craig?
It's Krieg, I think.
Krieg. He looks great. That actor is a giant man. Like, he looks really good. Some of their characters look, like, watching Lilith, Kate Blanchett, walk around looks good. She looks good in the outfit. She looks fun. But because it's void of any matter, it doesn't really matter.
It's like, true.
Because there's nothing, no weight nor no character, nothing there, you feel like you're just staring at Kate Blanchett in cosplay.
That's the way I felt. I was going to say that to you. Like, that's why I was like, I am so, like, in love with her. I think she's so beautiful. But you're 100% right. It was like she was doing cosplay. I didn't feel like this was a cohesive film. I just felt like there were just moments happening. I didn't understand what he was doing. I mean, there was no story there. There was no reason to care about these characters at all.
No.
It was just a whole bunch of, like you said, a series of moments.
Yeah.
It made no sense at all.
If you take the plot and you just say to yourself, so the plot is, and because it's not a spoiler, it doesn't matter. When I say it does not matter, it doesn't. There is no way to spoil anything because it doesn't matter. If the plot is that the world, this one world, first off, which is crazy, it's not all the planets. It's just one world for some reason, which is Pandora, which is like, wow, you're really missing the point.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's just Pandora and it's like that one planet's in chaos, okay, can you give us an idea of the world?
Yeah, because we needed more.
You can't just say, like, it looks like trash.
Right.
And bad things are happening. And it's like, you just can't say it. And then make us understand what the weight is of saving it or helping people.
Right.
There is no, like, setup or backdrop or human setup for a universe of, like, a reason. And it's another one of those movies where, and I see this constantly in movies where companies don't understand how to produce a movie that might have sequels. Like, when you have a franchise movie, which is, this is kind of thing. When it's a video game and you're making a movie out of it, it's a franchise. Like, there's no, I'm just going to make one movie. You have to assume.
Right. It's like the Resident Evil movies. Yeah.
You just have to automatically assume I'm making a franchise. And so what you do is you make a cohesive one story shot that has more stuff. And so when people enjoy that one little story, they want to come back to that universe. So you have to establish a universe. Without doing that, this movie doesn't do that. It literally just goes, okay, so we're going to save it. Okay, we saved it. And
yeah,
it's end. Like, did you really not have like any little bit of ounce of caring about what it is you're doing or why you're doing it? Like, I nobody stepped in and said, there is no story here. Like, there's right. no franchise. There's nothing. You're not building anything.
Well, Eli Roth was a writer on this, obviously.
And that's crazy.
It's like, who were you writing this for? Because we, as the audience, don't understand what you were going for. It's like, are you writing this just for yourself? So you understand it. That's great. Okay, but we don't. And this is not something that you really have to sit hard and ponder, you know? This is like, okay, there's nothing. There's literally nothing.
Yeah. This is a person who loves Grindhouse, right? This is a person who loves practical effects. A person who loves, like, slow, very small stories.
Yeah.
And he's going to put that into a big story. Now, you would think that someone who understands smaller stories would understand that this might have to start off as a character drama.
Mm-hmm.
In a universe that's cool. So you take your Grindhouse love, your practical effect love, and you put it around this story, and you can let it build over movies. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that the Captain America First Avenger or Iron Man 1 work. They're self-contained stories with a possibility of a gateway mm-hmm. to more movies. There's a way you do that. I cannot believe that when he was writing this, he didn't put in any of his cheeky humor, any of his Grindhouse love, because what says Grindhouse more than Borderlands, a game that is adult jokes,
yeah,
like characters who are violent and gross,
mm-hmm.
and none of them are good people, but it's about becoming a better person in the video games, like
right.
like maybe we can be better, but we're still vigilantes, we're still like maybe bad guys, we're in the gray area, and that's the fun of it, like slowly build that.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm a little shocked that he couldn't see that. And another thing, the Grindhouse, the look of Grindhouse goes well with the cell shading of the Borderlands series.
Right. Like, if you're going to incorporate Grindhouse in anything, this is the series to do it in. This is the
series to do it in. Yeah. And because let's face facts. The first video game, right, has you have, I think, four characters you can pick out of, right? And you get to play split screen.
Yes.
Or you can play co-op online and have four players at once or whatever. And as DLC opens up, you get more choices. But you have, basically, you have your gunslinger. You have your Clint Eastwood in mm-hmm. Good, Bad, and the Ugly. You have your ninja character. Mm-hmm. You have your sniper, your like animal control, your beastmaster. You have your savage character, your big bulky character with a giant gun. You have those possibilities of your Magnificent Seven
mm-hmm.
doing this plot line, maybe for selfish reasons. Just watching in this movie where he introduces, it's a character who's basically in the video games is a side character who sells you guns.
His name is Marcus, and he if there's one thing that Eli Roth nailed, it's his.
I don't know if that's the actor who actually voices it, because it sounds dead on.
Dead on.
Made me think it was really the actor.
Yeah.
I don't know for certain. When we talk about nailing it, you can nail it in voice and look.
Mm-hmm.
But if it doesn't organically make sense in your movie, then it feels jarring.
No, he was just kind of tossed in there because of, like, you know, the fans. We wanted to see Marcus.
Yeah, but there is a whole segment where he just goes, here's plot, and the character is like, in a video game, moving you from A to B,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense in a video game format. In a movie, that feels very jarringly bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's happening, you're like, this is exactly the 90s don't understand how to make a video game happen. So like in the Mortal Kombat Annihilation, a perfect example, the movie version, they were like, well, how do characters get from A to B? And they're like, well, what if we just put them on hamster wheels? It doesn't make any sense. It feels like a video game explanation of like what a person, an outside person, they can't understand like portals or magic. They're just going to be like, we'll have people on hamster wheels. It looks fun. It's like, what if we did what's popular right now? American Gladiators. That's exactly what this is. This like, I don't really understand video games in the sense where I can't see it from an outside perspective or a movie narrative, so I'm just gonna stick it in here and make everybody and hope everybody can see it like as fun. I don't think half your audience is gonna see that as fun.
No, I you know what, I gotta say, I went in thinking that this was gonna be a hoot. I didn't have fun with this, and for me not to have fun with this, with all these amazing actors and this the subject matter, I'm very disappointed. I'm like very highly disappointed. Yes, Kate Blanchett was great to look at. The psychos were pretty cool to look at. I mean, there were some things to look at. But, like, honestly, there was no plot here. There was no movie here. I don't even know what to say. I'm baffled. I'm baffled by the choices made in this movie. Or lack of movie, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You know, all this had to be, and I would think that this is simple. All this had to be is virtually the Raid or Dread, where you move from point A to B, and you have and point A to B, instead of being a building, is Pandora. You move through villages of like savages, and you get to know the world through that movement.
Yeah.
And this movie just goes, "Yeah, we're here," and here's a joke set piece, but it's not funny. I will give the movie one thing. Jack Black's Claptrap is better than I imagined it would have been.
I knew it would be.
I didn't think it was going to work. I thought it was going to be too Jack Black instead of being more like trying to be something else. He actually is trying to do a voice.
He is.
And it does work a little better. I feel like his character, though, unfortunately, is shoved into the movie to try to make sense to the narrative. But it doesn't really make sense when you think about it for a couple minutes. I think
he was just shoved in there because he's a beloved character of the series.
Yes.
I don't think he had any reason to be in the movie either. Just like Roland, who was played by Kevin Hart. I feel like he was misused. We know Kevin Hart. We know that he brings a sort of zest to all of his roles. And here, everything was flat. Everything was just like stale.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah. With Claptrap, I do believe that he's funny. It's just, unfortunately, the jokes come at moments that are very flat.
Yeah.
And so you're not even laughing because it's set up terribly.
Yeah, don't misunderstand me. I did giggle a few times with Claptrap's dialogue. But I just feel like it was just so underused and not just not used to the potential that there could have been. And also Jamie Lee Curtis's Tannis, it was like, okay, that could have been anyone either. You know? Like it could have been literally any other actor. It wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
There was nothing special about anything. Like Tiny Tina, first of all, can we talk about her? All right. We know Tiny Tina. She's a complete lunatic in the games.
And I think that people, like, she got her own video game in the last of the games.
Yeah.
And people were kind of like, it's wearing thin. Like, it's starting to be too much, and I do understand that. I do agree. And here, they completely missed the point of the character.
I mean, they muted her.
Where it was like,
they muted her. I mean, she's a complete lunatic in the game. So she's crazy. She's, I mean, outlandish.
There's a reason for it, and it makes sense when you start learning about her.
Yeah.
In this, they're like, it's just like a gateway to doing the game, the movie. Like, she's used as some kind of MacGuffin, which is like, what a shame.
I mean, for like the whole Atlas thing also, like, why? There's no point in putting Atlas in this movie. There's just no reasoning. I mean, I don't get it. It was just stupid. So I feel very let down. I feel like there's no movie here at all. Like, at all. I'm baffled. It was just a series of occurrences that didn't gel right. You know, aside from the way that certain characters looked, I mean, this did not feel like a Borderlands film at all. It just felt like some kind of run-of-the-mill, you know, action film. It just didn't even seem like a good action film. It just was a very big letdown for me. Very big. And I went in thinking I was going to have a 7 out of this. So I'm really...
trying to warn you.
Yeah, I am very disappointed. I'm pretty let down right now.
Here's something I definitely have to point out. Now, I completely understand that when you have a video game, you have hundreds of hours of video game to establish character, to give lore, to give background.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree that when you have an hour and a half, 2 hours, it's much harder to limit that. So you have to work really hard on doing your main character's narrative. And you pepper in little Easter eggs or build up to make people want to see more about other characters. I've seen movies do this. I've seen movies do way less. Like, I bring up the Magnificent Seven or the Seven Samurai. What's important there is with those movies, you have those characters, the seven characters. And for some reason, at the end of that movie, you believe you know each one of them.
Yeah.
Now, how did they establish seven characters worthy of worrying about and caring about? Mm-hmm. That's important. All you had to do here was establish 3 or 4 characters and give them enough caring about to follow.
Right.
And that's where the movie doesn't really... it's like it doesn't understand that basic concept of what it even wants to do going out of the way. So it's like, sure, you can completely say, well, 100 hours versus 2 hours is, you're giving it too much credit, thinking, no, I've seen movies that can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's possible. I've seen video game movies that have shockingly impressed me.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is possible. So I don't think that we should just credit like and just give passes to things. So to me, it's so much more insulting when you watch a movie and you go, wow, like they didn't have an idea at all, or they didn't have. And this could be a possibility. I don't know for a fact, but I do know this movie was reshot a lot and it was a different director.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that could be an issue. They maybe didn't see Eli Roth's vision.
Okay, but Eli Roth is also a writer on this film. So
that's what I'm saying.
There was no switch in writers on this.
If they reshot it, they refilmed. They wrote a new script. That's what I'm getting at. Like,
the whole thing is unfortunate.
It could be a situation where the director, the writer was replaced with studio edits because of that person's vision being thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
This happens a lot. It happened to the Rogue One. It happened to Suicide Squad, Zack Snyder's Justice League. We've seen it a lot. And it is very unfortunate that happens. I think when a company gives someone credit and they give them the license to make a movie, they need to completely commit. And whatever comes out, bad or good, they need to go with.
Yes.
The re-edits need to stop. I will say, though, saying that is easy because I have seen movies where the edit is better than the director's vision, because Exorcist 3, to me, is a movie that the director's version is crash comparative to the studio's edit. Mm-hmm. Which is what got released. The studio edit is like amazing to me.
Yeah.
So it is possible that sometimes studio edits need to step in. But I think that this day and age, what I'm seeing is just give the guy what he wants to do and let him go nuts with it. And how was this not rated R?
Yeah, I don't know.
How could they make a violent thing like this rated R?
Well, the amount of violence in this was little to, I mean, there's...
oh, the movie had nothing.
Almost zero.
Yeah.
There's nothing. There's just nothing going on. I really am... I'm just speechless at this point. I can't believe how I went in thinking this is going to be a 7 because I had so much hope for it. I've never seen so much like potential in something that was just done so terribly wrong.
Yeah. I can't stress this enough. We're living in a day and age where people are complaining about Star Wars Acolyte.
Mm-hmm.
And Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, Season 2. We're living in a world now where people are complaining about these things. And then you see something like this and you're like, you guys could like really stop complaining about those things. They are not as bad as something like this. Yeah. Like, when you see something like this, you go, oh no, it could be way worse, guys. It could be so much worse.
It really
worse.
Can. And like, you know, it's like for fans of Borderlands like us who played this game into the ground and had so much fun playing it. And when this was announced that they were going to make this movie, I was beyond. Because then I learned that Kate Blanchett was attached and I'm like, oh God, this can't be any better for me. Like, I was so stoked. And to feel this like level of defeat and letdown over this, I mean, I just feel like I didn't watch a movie at all. It was weird.
Yeah, it's weird. It doesn't. It feels like it feels like we went and watched a Comic-Con clip show.
That's what it feels like. It does. Yes, like some kind of fan-made like thing, yeah, you know, like made, a clip show of what it would be like if there was a live action Borderlands.
Yeah, if you told me AI.
Film.
Yeah.
Yes, like if an AI thing, you know.
Someone told us AI with these actors, maybe this would be produced.
And I feel bad for everyone involved in this because I think that they didn't really understand the source material, and even if they did do their research on it and, you know, learn all about Borderlands, it wouldn't have made one bit of difference for these poor actors. It really wouldn't have.
Not at all.
What are you going to give the score wise?
Oh man, this is a 3.
I mean, I'm going to go one above and say 4 because there were some shots in it that were worthy of a 4.
I'm struggling.
I'm struggling too. Moment. I'm struggling too. This isn't even a mediocre film. It just wasn't good.
No, this is trash.
And it hurts me. It hurts my heart because I'm like, God damn it, Eli.
Like, this is one of those films that I can't even close my eyes and think of good moments.
I can't either.
It was one of the rare moments where I was like, I just kind of wanted to end so bad so I can walk out of here.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, just get to the end because I know there's nowhere to go. And when it did end, I was like, I was right. There was nothing, no payoff, nothing. The only thing to even give it a couple stars is some of the costumes were decent. Claptrap was okay.
Yeah.
Not the Claptrap that we all like.
Not great.
Gina
Gershon has her 30 seconds of moxie. No one cares.
It didn't work for me at all.
I mean, it was like, whatever.
Yeah, it didn't work
for me. I didn't hate it and I didn't love it.
Even if they showed her with her kids at the end, which I cannot believe weren't a part of the movie. They're such huge characters. Mm-hmm. They were there, but
it just didn't work.
It doesn't work. It didn't work. It doesn't matter. None of it really does. And I'm ashamed. The only thing I think I'm really mad about is that this is a game property that is dead to me.
Yeah.
Like and I already knew it was with the last video game. I knew it was like, okay, they've hit a wall.
It just makes me really sad.
Yeah. And now seeing this movie, I'm like, it's done.
Cause we co-op the shit out of this game. Yeah. We loved it.
My big question to you now is, we've been on a roll of disasters, of like disappointments. Now we're going into a movie next week where I am the most excited about seeing that I have been in a very long time. Should I worry now?
Lord Jesus, let me tell you something, okay? I might just not make it through. If Alien Romulus is a bad movie, someone's gonna have to pick up my corpse off the floor, okay? Because I cannot take it. I am so stoked. Aliens from 1986, Sigourney Weaver, is my favorite movie of all time. And I am going into this thinking, okay, there's hope now, because I thought Prometheus was trash. I feel like I am owed something, goddammit. I am owed something good. I have hope in this trailer, this movie, and I want something good. And if I walk out of there in tears, I don't know. You're going to have to put me in an institution.
I mean, I'm so nervous because everything is... I knew this one in particular was going to be a bust. I had a huge concern about this for many years. So I'm not too surprised, but I am nervous going forward in movies recently.
No, I don't know what to do because now next week I saw all the Alien merch that's out on Regal. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting more, you know, hyped up and so stoked about this. And now I'm like, after this debacle, what do I do? Like, I can't turn it off. I can't because it's Alien. I mean, I just can't.
I know, yeah.
You know, it's my jam. So whatever, man. I just can't deal anymore. I'm annoyed.
All right. So that's our thoughts on Borderlands. Very, very disappointed. And yeah. Please tell us what you think on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. We would love to hear your opinions. If you thought it was better than us or you thought it was worse, which I can't imagine, I would love to hear about it. Please hit us up. So, as always, thanks for listening and have a good one. Bye.
What's happening right now?
I'm expelling the excess lead.
I can't go if you're looking at me.
Actually, scrap that.
I really can. Actually, it's helping.
Are we really waiting for this to finish?
Keep looking at me!